This is Pastor Jim Croissant at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. We invite you to join us as we worship in praise, music, and the spoken word at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school. I want to share a favorite passage of Scripture with you. It's found in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As we think about those three things, the way, the truth, and the life, we find that Jesus gives us direction, hope for our life we live, and truth that we may heal in grace. Visit us online at rocksprings.umc.org. Of course, you're always welcome to worship with us at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs, just above the high school. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Croissant on Easter Sunday, April 17, 2022. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Easter Sunday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died for our sins, enabling us to move from sin to new life. Awaken us this hour to Christ's presence in our midst. May his light shine through us now and into our worship. This we pray in his most holy name. Amen.
Let's prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Life, you remember Pat Norris. Pat has had a major stroke and is not doing well at all. So just lift Pat up. If not, let us pray. Let's begin a moment of silence. As we center our hearts and our minds before the throne of God, let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, he is risen. He has risen indeed. All the pain put behind, death defeated. He has risen and is alive. Of all the religions in the world today, we are the only one that has a risen Savior. We have the only faith that our founder gave himself for the faith, while others require you to give yourself for the faith. Christ led by example in the life he lived, the words he gave, the lessons he taught. Father, it was by example he loved us and said to us that we should love as we have been loved. And Father, we thank you for an empty tomb on an Easter morning. We thank you that our Redeemer lives and that it can be and should be alive in each one of us through the Holy Spirit, to give us peace, grace, and mercy, to call us into service, to empower us in the service, that others would see Christ in us and be drawn to Christ, that none would perish, but ever all have eternal life. And Father, we come to you today with so many burdens, cares, problems, and situations in the world around us, in our nation, in our communities, in our own homes, and yes, Father, even in our own lives. We bring it all before you. Ask you, God, to forgive us our sins. Pray that as you forgive us, that you give us the strength to forgive others, to help us lay our pain at your feet and be held in your embrace. Father, we do have many needs and concerns. It seems like we always have to talk to you about what we need. And that is what we should do. For you are our God, but you're our Father in heaven. And you want to hear from us. You want to hear our petitions. You want to talk to us. So, Father, as we pray, as we share, you listen intently. And, Father, you answer every prayer we pray. Maybe not when we want it or how we want it. So, Father, give us grace that we may accept your will and trust you, as hard as that may be, to trust you. With the questions we can't answer, with the unknown that we can't see into. For that's living by faith. And Father, as we pray for all of these things, we pray for other churches, we pray for those who look at their life and look at their faith and look at their journey, and they see where you've been, and they see where you are, and they trust you moving forward. We pray for those who are in nursing homes, hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes, for those who wait for medical procedures, for those for whom the phone will ring and the news won't be good. We pray, Father, that there would be peace in the world. We pray for those who serve our country in whatever way and capacity that may be. For those who put the needs of others ahead of their own, we pray that you strengthen them and give them and fill them with your grace. And now, Father, we'd ask that you would hear us as we join our hearts and voices together praying as you taught us, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In June of last year, Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, conducted a survey, and it was conducted through their practicum department in the surrounding area of Kentucky, Tennessee, and a few other little spots kind of around where they were. And they were asking the question, because they had saw the statistics during the pandemic, the increase in suicides, the increase in antidepressants, and all of those other things that have affected people's lives and become a part of their lives. They wanted to know what was behind all of that, so to speak. And Harvard University had conducted a similar research to this about 3 months before they did at Asbury. And their finding was the number one theme, outline, and part of all of this stuff was hopelessness. It was just that their lives felt hopeless, that there was no point, there was no reason, it wasn't getting better, life was upside down, the world was upside down, everything was inside out, nothing worked, nothing was, there wasn't solid ground on which they could, it was hopelessness, hopelessness. And as we look around, as we talk to our friends, what do we get in some of those conversations about? Hopelessness. Is it going to change? Is there light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train? You know, we do wonder those things. Well, Easter stands in opposition to all of that. But I want you to think about it for a minute. Let's put it into context. A lot of people often say, well, how could she have not known that was Jesus? Well, let me ask you a question. If you went to the cemetery, would you be expecting the dead to be up walking around? I mean, honestly, don't be so hard on her because you know how the story ends. But just think about it. But I want you to think about it even more than that. Think about what a week it's been for these people in this upper room. Think about the disciples and the friends of Jesus. Think about what a week they've had. Man, they just come into Jerusalem last weekend under palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, man, what a good time it was. And then they get down there. They get into the city. It's celebration time. It's the festival of the Passover. It's the big one. It is the monster holiday. They're there to celebrate it. And they get there, and Jesus cleans out the temple, turns over the money tables, takes the whip and cleans it out. That mess had been going on way too long. He cleaned house. Well, that didn't win him any points. They go out. They have a meal. Jesus teaches them that the bread becomes the body, the wine becomes the blood, and a new covenant is given. He washes their feet when the meal was over, tells them that as he has done for them, they should do to others, and gives them commandment number 11, that we would love one another as we have been loved, that we'd love one another. And then Jesus and some of his disciples go out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and they go out and they begin to pray. And Jesus told his disciples, "Stay here and just pray with me. I'm going to go a little farther." He prays for a little while, comes out, and they're out like light bulbs. And he says, "Could you not even pray with me 1 half hour?" Things had started going downhill. Jesus goes back and he prays so earnestly that his sweat actually began to be drops of blood. And then he comes back out. Once again, the disciples are asleep. And he says, "Sleep. Take your rest." And then temple soldiers come into the garden, startle the disciples awake. Peter, who's packing, pulls a sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. Judas, one of the 12, betrays Christ with a kiss. He's arrested, drugged, beaten, mock trial. Disciples scatter. Peter denies him in the crowd. Whew, man, what a week. And then he's convicted, having committed no crime. And he's put to death. Not only is he put to death, but in the most horrid of ways. For the Jewish person, you could not go to heaven having been crucified, dying on the tree, naked on a hillside, going into the city, a spectacle for everybody to see. Between two thieves, no less. And then he dies, and the world turns dark, and the temple has an earthquake, and the veil's torn. Oh my, their religion, their faith, their icon of faith has suffered greatly. What could it all mean? Hurriedly, we take down his body, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and some others, and they quickly wrap him up because the sun is setting on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about to begin. And they put him in the borrowed tomb and leave him until the first day of the week. Now think about it. You're in the upper room. You don't know if you're next. What if you're Peter? What are you thinking about? Yeah, I denied him. What are you thinking? How can he love me? I bet there's a room full of hopelessness in there, don't you? This person that they had followed for 3 years, this person that they had left all to follow, is dead. How could that be? Just a few days ago, it was a victory. Just a few days ago, the sons of thunder were arguing about who was going to be on the right and the left when he come into his kingdom. They just knew that Rome was going to be defeated. They just knew that a new kingdom of David was going to be established. They knew the tribes would be better, and all the lands that used to look like Israel would come back. They just knew that he had come to set up the kingdom they wanted. But now, how could it be? Not only did they feel hopeless, but the hope that they had in him is laying in a tomb, put to death by the very authority they hoped to overthrow. What about the women? They had supported, they had been behind. Hopelessness filled the room. And days, have you ever been in that place of hopelessness and brokenness? Where hours seemed like days, weeks seemed like months, or maybe the opposite. Maybe a month goes by and you don't even realize it did. Have you been there? Are we too sometimes part of that statistic from Asbury or Harvard? Are we part of that? Yes, we are. That's the truth. There are times when we don't know why. There are times when we can join in with those disciples in an upper room and not be able to figure out which end is up, whether we're coming or going, or what the purpose of life is. Been there. done that. Don't want to go through it again. And if you haven't been there, I promise you'll get there. Because it seems that life is getting you going and you're going, and then all of a sudden somebody throws a stick in the spokes of the front wheel. I saw something on Facebook the other day, and I know everybody knows I've got, by the way, I've got 5 new stents, shiny new ones. Well, I don't guess they're shiny now, but 5 new stents. I've got 21 or 22 total. I've got stents in the stents that have the stents that were in the stents. You know, that's just the way it is. I got news for you. You laugh it off right now. You get 20, 30, 40, 50. I'm going to tell you something. After 50, you'll check engine lights coming on. This stuff going to be going on. You're going to go, oh, no. The newspaper, my arms have gotten too short. Huh? What did you say? Was you talking to me? Yeah, here's what else you'll do. You'll turn your radio down so you can see better in your car. You there, ain't you? Some of you sat there, you're going, he's been spying on me. You know, I got news for you. Life changes. Life changes. Sometimes it's better. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's kind of, I'm going to go back over here. You know, sometimes that's just the way life is, isn't it? Sometimes we're on top of the world. The next day, we're squished under it. Some days it's going just the right speed in the orbit around the sun, and the next day we want to slow it down. Some days we're enjoying the ride. Some days we stayed on the merry-go-round too long and we're sick. But Easter stands in opposition to all of that. Easter stands in opposition to the victory of the grave. It stands in opposition to hopelessness. It stands in opposition to a time when the believer doesn't have hope in our lives, but we have to trust God. We can't pretend. We can't halfway do it. We've got to know and trust and believe that God has the power to change where we are, to change who we are, and to bring us to realize that Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul said, I know that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. To me, that's the hardest text in the whole Bible. But it gives me the most hope of any. I have been in a lot of situations. And I've walked people through a lot of situations. And I feel sure there's more coming. But I've never found God unfaithful. But I have found myself wanting more than once. And that's okay. Because as long as I know that, as long as I know it's not Him but me, I know that's not a train at the end of the tunnel. And I know there's hope where there would normally be none. I have saw people struggle. I have saw people face adversities. You saw them too, who held on to their faith despite tears and pain. Knowing and looking back, they would say, it was the only way. That's the message of Easter, folks. Hope is alive. Hope has defeated the last great unknown, death. Hope is alive and eternally alive. It is a hope that springs eternal for every person who believes in Jesus Christ. Mary goes, and she, can you imagine what it was like carrying a bucket of water and some rags and some spices, and I'm going to go anoint the person I loved, who I've spent this time with, who had cast out my demons, who had saved me, who had healed me, all of the things that He had done. Can you imagine? She's got to go in that tomb. No wonder her head was down and she couldn't see to whom she was speaking. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Jesus says? You got to turn loose, Mary. Because she realized who it was. And he grabbed on. She grabbed on. And she wasn't going to let go. She didn't want to lose him again. He says, you got to turn loose. Go tell my disciples. Church, and no matter what we're facing, God is with us. Never forsakes us. And we need to tell others. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Hope is alive. Hope is a person. Hope is eternal. Hope made promises to be with us, to never forsake us, to let His Spirit move within us, to sustain us. Paul also wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On this Easter Sunday morning 2022, it is my hope and my prayer that the love of God in Christ Jesus has filled your heart with a hope that springs eternal. Father, may hope spring eternal in our hearts and in our lives. The message of Easter says it's all been defeated. Hell, sin, and death. We are the victors in Christ Jesus. Though we may go through hardships and difficulties, hope remains. For it is eternal hope. Hope that is in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus. May it truly be renewed in our hearts and lives today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go now on this Easter Sunday morning carrying with us, knowing and assured of, hope that is in Christ, eternal hope that never lets us down, that holds us and strengthens us, gives us peace, grace, and mercy. No matter what the world may give you, always remember that Christ gives you eternal hope. Now may grace and peace go with you, keep you, and bless you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.